Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. You've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. We live in a world full of options. I like options. I like options. How do you like your eggs? What do you want on your pizza? What color do you want your hair? I made that mistake with somebody just the other day. I thought they were a good friend. It's the same color my hair has always been, they said. Purple. So, be careful what you say. But options. Let me ask you, what God are you believing in? What God are you believing in? And then take that God and then ask the question, well, how do you believe? What is the evidences that you believe in that God that you've just identified as your God? As Christians, as followers of Scripture, believing in the triune Godhead, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we believe in Jesus. John 3:16, many passages of Scripture tell us to believe in Jesus, right? Believe in Jesus. Well, let me say to you today, there are two ways to believe in Jesus. I mentioned this just a tad, if you were with me 2 weeks ago, I believe. I mentioned the two ways that we believe, that word believe, in anything. But today we're specifically speaking about Jesus. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It's a great example for us in this first way of believing. The first way that we believe, we can believe, the world believes in Jesus Christ. God our Heavenly Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read some of chapter 18 for you. Follow along as I begin with verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 23. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. In this passage of Scripture, there are certain people. Let's break it down. We're hearing in verse 18 from a ruler. We're also knowing that the ruler is speaking to a good teacher. And we know that good teacher has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And then if you look at verses 26 and 28, which we did not read, we know also that there was a crowd of people, those who were listening in on the conversation. And we know specifically that Peter was a part of that crowd because his name is mentioned in verse 28. Again, I will say that the ruler's question is a good question. It's a very, 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 very important question. It is so important to us as human beings that almost every culture, every religion, I will say, attempts to answer the question, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life? At our Tuesday community prayer time at the fire station, most Tuesdays, Tom Burton from Youth for Christ is present. I enjoy his conversation. I enjoy him telling his God stories. I like God stories. We haven't had a God story. I haven't challenged any of you to give a God story for a long time. If you have a current God event in your life that you want to share with us, we need to hear those stories. I'll say I do. Maybe you don't, but I need God's stories. It's fuel in my spiritual tank that knows that God is alive and well in your life. Okay? I can assume that. I don't like assuming anything. Okay? Well, anyway, Tom Burton comes to these Tuesday prayer times, and in his Youth for Christ things that he does for them, one of those things is he goes out to the juvenile center, Prairie Lakes, and on Monday nights he has a meeting with kids in a group setting, and then he can meet with them one-on-one, if they so desire, later in the week, typically on a Thursday night, I believe. He was telling us a couple weeks ago that he was sitting down with a young man of a different culture, a different religion than Christianity. And Tom asked the young man, he said, in your belief structure, in your believing God, how do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Do you believe in a heaven? Oh, yeah, we believe in a good place, a heaven. And so Tom asked the question, how do you know that you're going to get there? Do you know that you're going to get there? And the young man looked at Tom and he said, well, no. There's no concrete, do this, get that. There's nothing like that. It's just kind of follow the rules, do this or do that. And then when you take your last breath here on earth, whoop, you just hope that you get invited into heaven. Tom then used that as an opportunity to share the truth of Scripture and say, hey, that's amazing. Do you know that in Christianity you can know that you know that you know that you can go to heaven? This young man sat back and he was just kind of blown away. He could not believe that you could know. That it wasn't just like live a life, roll the dice, flip a quarter, do whatever. And maybe you get in and maybe you don't. He'd never heard that before. Well, this ruler came with that kind of a question. The ruler was an educated man. He was smart. He was a ruler. And you don't get to be a ruler by being a D student, I'm going to assume, okay? He was a ruler. He was educated. He had some good pedigree. He had some good genes. But the question of inheriting eternal life had never been answered. If all of his education, his life events, whatever he was as a ruler, this question had never been answered for him. Even keeping all of the laws that Jesus mentions in verse 20, this young man, or we don't know he's a young man, there's another young ruler story in another gospel, but this ruler had never satisfied his desire to know what it took to know that he would have eternal life. It was still out there. It was still an unanswered question, and he wanted to know the answer. I find it interesting that he wanted to inherit eternal life. And we could spend probably the rest of the day just talking about that piece of this, inheriting eternal life. He wanted to do something, but yet he knew that it was eternal life, or inherited life. It was something that was going to be a gift given to him. It was a gift. You get an inheritance other than being nice to your mom and dad or your uncle that has a lot of money. Okay? It's a gift that they give to you. So I find that rather interesting that he asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted it to be a part of who he was. He wanted it written out, I'm going to get that for sure. I believe that statement recorded for us by Luke speaks of the mindset, the thinking of this ruler. And yes, maybe the inheritance was connected to doing something. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He knew that he was going to do something, but he wanted to be on the good side of whoever it was, God, so that he would know that he knows that he's going to get eternal life. Well, trusting Jesus is going to be the answer. Trusting Jesus is going to be the answer. Believing in Jesus Remember the two aspects of believing in Jesus. You can believe in Him factually. Ultimately, your belief must come down to trusting in Jesus. So, how does this ruler guy believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, he had kept the commandments. I have no doubt that he had kept the commandments that Jesus was asking him about. I truly believe that if the young man was lying to Jesus, the ruler was lying to Jesus, Jesus would have called him on it. Jesus would have said, well, wait a minute, you just told me you didn't lie, but remember back when you were 17 and your dad told you to go to the town to get something and you didn't do that? Remember that? Well, Jesus knows everything, right? So Jesus could take him back to any point in life where he had broken a commandment, but this young man, this ruler, is standing there saying, no, I have kept the commandments and I have kept them perfectly. Perfectly. Obedience to God's word, as he had interpreted it, wasn't the problem. The ruler's problem was uncovered by Jesus. Jesus, again, all-knowing, all-powerful. We've sung the songs. You know the scriptures. I want you to look at the commandments that Jesus lists for this ruler in verse 20. There are five of them. Adultery, murder, steal, lie, honor parents. How would you do? Let me ask you the question. Anybody here tell a lie? Has anybody here told a lie? A lot of you are lying right now. Okay? All right. Okay, so we've all told lies. All right, how many of you have ever stolen something? Maybe you didn't intentionally steal it, but you got home and you went like, oh, how did that get in my bag? But yet you didn't go back and correct the mistake. So you did steal it, right? Okay, anybody steal something? All right, okay. Some of you are honest. Some of you are really good people. Honor your parents. Would you say that you've honored your parents? Now, that's a subjective one, right? Because I could say I've honored my mother, but it would be a question that my mother would have to say. She's the one that would have to answer that. Have I, as her son, have I honored her? Okay? And I would say probably not, to the fullest of the intent of Scripture, so forgive me. Okay? All right, that's not part of the sermon. Okay? So that's only five. How many commandments are there? 10, right? 10. What about the other five? I wonder why Jesus didn't say, how'd you do on the 10 commandments? He picked on five. And if this guy is a ruler and he is really disciplined, I mean, he is just like, bam, he's perfect. Do you think it's possible for somebody to keep these five commandments? I'm going to say it is. Don't commit adultery. Okay. I can sign up for that one. Murder. I thought about... No. I'm not going to do that one. Okay. Not going to do that one. Steal. Boy, if when I was in 10th grade or 11th grade, if I'd really thought about it, I wouldn't have sold that 10-cent bag of rubber bands. Take something valuable. Anyway, yeah, you could get through life without stealing something, right? Lie? Maybe take a little more, you know. But yeah, you could get through a day. You should be able to get through a week. You should be able to get through a month without lying. And then honoring your parents. Whew. Okay. I believe that those five, this ruler, answered that correctly. And if he hadn't, Jesus would have called him on it. So he could do the five. Yes, I've kept the five, Jesus. I've kept them perfectly. Well, then Jesus indirectly gets into the rest of the story. But what about the other five? No other gods, no idols, no swearing, keeping the Sabbath. Jesus, knowing the heart and the mind and the bank account of this ruler, he doesn't ask of those five commands specifically. He did not say, do you have any other gods before you? Well, if he had, the young man would have had to lie. Right? Nope. He would have answered it, yes. But he doesn't go down the list found in Exodus chapter 20 of the Ten Commandments. He didn't ask, do you have any gods other than the God of Abraham? He could have. Jesus didn't. Do you have any idols? Well, I don't think we have anything at home that I kneel in front of and worship. Yeah, no, that's fine. Do you misuse God's name? Do you ever have a... We'll call it a slip of the tongue, although most people do it on purpose. How about the Sabbath? Do you keep the Sabbath? Do you work on the seventh day? Do you just kind of fit that into your schedule? I'm going to say that Jesus went to the very first commandment indirectly because he knew that that was the weak spot for this ruler. And Jesus said, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. I like that. He's going to switch his treasures. He's got stuff here on earth. Go sell it. I want you to get a lot of money. Sell it. And then I want you to go take care of the poor. Yeah, you're going to be broke here on earth, but guess what? You've got treasure in heaven. We're going to do a little swap here. Jesus said, you give me what you've got. You go take care of the poor. And then I'll give you treasure. You've got treasure in heaven. And Jesus doesn't stop there. Then he continues. He says, well, then come follow me. Jesus knew the ruler had a God. And it wasn't the God of Abraham. It was his stuff. It was everything that he had. It was his lifeline. It was his job. It was his, and you get to fill in your blank. So instead of asking, do you have any other gods other than the God of Abraham, Jesus showed the ruler, yes, you have other gods. Get rid of them, and then you will have treasure. You will have treasure in heaven. Jesus is called the great teacher. What does the young man say right at the very beginning? He calls him a good teacher. Other passages of Scripture, Jesus is a great teacher. He's a great rabbi. That's a given. Jesus is called that great teacher. And this is a good example. This is a great example of how Jesus taught indirectly to get to the heart of the matter. The ruler asked about eternal life. Jesus does not mention eternal life in his response. He asked about eternal life, right? Well, how did Jesus respond? He didn't say, go sell your stuff, take care of the poor, and you will have eternal life. You would think that was the normal, would be the complete answer, right? Mm-mm. Jesus is stretching the mindset of the ruler, and I believe he's stretching our mindset today. Jesus does not directly answer the question in the same words that the ruler used. But he says, yes, you will have eternal life by showing him that eternal life is treasure in heaven. Jesus wanted the ruler and us to see the big picture. The big picture. Eternal life with Jesus happens in a place we call heaven. Spoke about heaven last week. And the ruler asked the short question, eternal life. And Jesus said, oh, if you want treasure, it'll be given to you in heaven. Heaven. That's where your treasure should be. Jesus, back in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about treasure here on earth. Don't strive for treasures here on earth. Make sure you have treasure in heaven. Jesus said that the eternal life the ruler was seeking was going to happen in heaven, a very specific place. And it has value. It's a treasure. Jesus concludes his answers with, I want to say, the very important but often overlooked, and I'm not going to overlook it this morning, those four words found in verse 23. Excuse me, at the end of verse 22. Then come, follow me. Believing in Jesus must be followed with obedience. Believing in Jesus must be demonstrated by us following Him. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, and then just kind of put a check in that box and go on and live life how you want to live life. It's very subtle how Jesus concluded this exchange with the ruler. He said, get rid of your stuff, get rid of your gods, get rid of the things that you occupy your time and space with. Take care of the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Then we're going to do something else. You've already done something, then we're going to do something else. Then go do something. Then obey Jesus' words. Come. We're going to go someplace. We're going to go do something. I'm moving spiritually. I'm moving physically. Then come. I'm going to leave where I'm at, and I'm going to come. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go to where He is at. Follow. Get in line. Stay close. Have you ever been on a caravan trip, a group of four or five cars? We used to do this back in the day, taking kids from Minneapolis down to Kansas City for youth events. And sometimes there'd be four, five, six cars, and we would say, okay, somebody's going to lead, and then the rest of you just get in line and we'll follow. Do you know what it is like to be a good follower? To be a good follower, you should stay within sight of the leader. And if you aren't in sight of the leader, you can get lost. It happened a few times. In the days before cell phones, there were times that we would go, I'd look in the rearview mirror, and there's nobody back there. And I go, oh. Was I going too fast? Oh, no, not me. So you pull off on the next exit ramp, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And then you have a conversation. I know you know that you think you know that. I know that you know where we're going. But just so we all stay together, so if you have a flat tire, we don't lose you, let's stay within sight of each other. Okay? Be a good follower. What does being a good follower mean? I'm going to stay close to the leader. I'm going to stay close to the leader. Jesus is saying to this ruler, then come, follow. Get in line. Stay right there. Come on, stay inside of me. I'm going to teach you some things. Get in line, stay close. And then that word me, he's saying Jesus Christ himself. Be a follower, be a disciple of Christ. And without being a disciple of Christ, without being a follower of Christ, without being obedient to those last words spoken by Jesus, what would the ruler have accomplished? What would he have accomplished? He would have lost all this stuff. He would have made a lot of poor people happy. He would have not had eternal life. He would not have had eternal life. It's a two-part thing that Jesus was telling him to do. Jesus said, yeah, go sell your stuff. Get rid of that God. Get rid of God, that little g God in your life. Get rid of it. Do something good with it. Yep. Take care of the poor people. Oh, and then come follow me. And without the come follow me, the ruler would have just lost all of his stuff. He would have not have attained eternal life. Being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ, without that, you have nothing. Don't talk about how many times you came to Sunday school, how much money you gave the church. I don't care what you do. God doesn't care what you do. That is not going to get you into heaven. It's the come follow me that gets you into heaven. The first piece of this story that Jesus is talking to the ruler, Jesus is just trying to show him that he has other gods. Let's clean up the mess. Let's clean up the mess. Get rid of those gods. Take care of it. Get it out of the way. And then come follow me. Let me be your God. Let me be the only God that you follow. Get rid of those other gods and then come follow me. Verse 23, it says it all. Verse 23, when he heard this, the ruler heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Go back to the believing statement that I made earlier. Do you believe in Jesus factually or do you believe Jesus by trusting? Too many people in church believe in Jesus factually. They do not believe him by trusting. The ruler believed in Jesus factually. Oh, I've heard about Jesus. He's a good teacher. He's more than a good teacher. He's a great teacher. And if there's anybody that could answer my question about eternal life, this thing that's been bugging me, even though I'm educated at Harvard in Jerusalem, I'm educated, I've got a lot of certificates on the wall, I know it all, except this one thing about eternal life. I just don't get that one. So I know that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is where I need to go. He had heard about Jesus. He knew Jesus from a factual standpoint. He could probably quote passages of Scripture from the Old Testament. He knew all the prophecies. But when it came to trusting in Jesus, he failed. He believed in Jesus from a factual standpoint. Yes, great teacher. Yep, Jesus is going to know the answer. But then when Jesus said, come follow me, he turned and walked away. Believing in Jesus is two pieces. Factually, do you know that he's the Son of God? Yes, those are all good things. But as disciples, children of God, we must trust in Jesus. That's the element, that's the truth of our saying that I believe in Jesus. Is that I trust him. I'm willing to set everything else aside to be obedient to follow him. And whatever that looks like in your life, that's between you and God, our Heavenly Father. That's between you and Jesus Christ. That's between you and the Holy Spirit to have that conversation. I'm here this morning to encourage you to move away from just believing in Jesus from a factual standpoint and to truly trust in him. Trust in him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you in life. He's going to challenge you. He's going to come alongside you and he's going to say, maybe it's not stuff. I don't know what your little God is. But he's going to say, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And then come follow me. Be my disciple. Be my child. Get in line. Follow me. And then you will have eternal life. So where are you today on that journey? Where are you in the conversation with God? If you have a little God in your life, pay attention because the Holy Spirit's going to come and point it out to you. And he's going to tell you to get rid of it. He's going to tell you to set it aside. Come follow me. And then are you going to say, yeah, God, I trust in you. Let's do this. Let's do this. It's an amazing journey. It's an amazing journey that God has called us to follow him on. And my prayer for you is that you set aside the little gods as the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, that's getting in the way of us. It's getting in the way of fellowship. It could be your time. It could be your schedule. It could be your devotion time, your prayer time, your family time. All that stuff can and does get in the way of following God. Get rid of it. Trust in Jesus. Follow Him. And then have eternal life. 12 years ago today, I was installed as your pastor. Wow. Come follow me. Come follow me. It still speaks to me. Because I'm not perfect. Cynthia will tell you that. And some of you come and remind me of that from time to time. And that's okay. Because I know it too. But I will tell you, there is great joy, there is great peace in knowing that the little gods back then of my life have been set aside, and the come follow me is a good place to be. Is it perfect? Are there things that I... No, because I'm still on that journey. I'm still working on that. Okay? I hope you are too. I want you to be there. That you never go a day without asking God, okay, God, what's the little God in my life that I need to get out of the way? Is there something, God, between us? I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I invite you to stand this morning and let's just pray together. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your life. What's the little God that's keeping you from the fullness of the fellowship with Jesus Christ? And to know and to understand that little God in your life will keep you from treasures in heaven. It will keep you from eternal life. That's big. That's big. This ruler went away because he could not, would not be obedient to what Jesus was telling him. In reality, all that he thought eternal life was compared to nothing to the vastness of his earthly treasure, whatever that was. Don't set aside eternity just to hold on to something today. Father, I believe that this passage of Scripture, this story that is recorded for us by Luke, Jesus Christ, your Son, having a real conversation with somebody who is really wanting to know the answer about eternal life. Jesus, your Son, showed him the answer, but yet the answer was difficult to hear. It was more than the ruler wanted to hear. And he walked away. He went away sad. Father, speak to us. Let your Holy Spirit convict us of the little gods we have, if there are any. What are the gods we are following? May we be found only following you, God, our Heavenly Father. Father, let your Spirit speak to me today. Let your Spirit speak to us as a congregation. That you are the one we are to follow. And in following you, we will find the treasures of this earth, yes, your love, your blessings will satisfy us. And then we will know that we know that we know that we have heaven waiting and treasures there. Father, let us believe in Jesus Christ. Let it be seen and heard in us because we trust in you. We trust in you. With today, with tomorrow, we trust. Father, let us leave this place and be a blessing to someone today. Let us trust in you as you lead us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be that blessing to someone. They desperately need it.